Well, good morning again. As you're settling back in, wow, what a morning. We're going to be going from a great big country in South Asia to a little country in the Caribbean, and there's a theme there. It's more than just global mission. It's like communist countries. And where ministry is happening. Now, if we could just have a representative of New York, we'd have everything. But it is my joy to get to introduce a gentleman who's going to bring the message this morning. As Dan said, you might have met Manny Mill at our mission conference not that many weeks ago. That's not coming up for me yet, John. I have a slide to introduce him and tell you a little bit about him. He is the executive director of Koinonia House National Ministries. Their ministry is to a community of around 2 million people, and that is the prison population within the United States. And in particular, Koinonia House ministers at the gate as prisoners come out and seeks to plug them into churches that are equipped to receive them and disciple them. And they also plant churches within the prisons, which is quite amazing. And so this is Manny. And Manny will hopefully, as he brings the word, share a little bit about his ministry as well. And as you heard, there are some resources on the back table. And again, this goes to supporting the ministry. Any donations from the books go to printing more books for the prisoners. Manny shared with me that they gave out, I think, 1,000 books at Sheridan Prison yesterday, as they had just a great response to the Lord. Now, and I thought about, if you've never heard Manny speak, I thought about having seatbelts installed in the chairs, but there just wasn't enough time. But I could still say, like, buckle your seatbelts as you get ready. Manny, he told me, he said, "Paul, I will do the message in English." He said, "But next time, if there is more time, I'd like to do it in Spanish too." And I said, "Por qué no esta vez?" Why not this time? No, actually, I said, maybe next time we'll do bilingual. I just didn't know how Riverside would respond to him speaking in tongues like that. So, Manny, if you would come up, I want to pray for you as you bring the word. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this dear brother, Lord. I thank you for his ministry, for his heart, his love for the lost. And God, as he brings your word, I pray that you would open up our hearts, that we'd be drawn to you, that we'd be transformed by your truth, God. I pray that you would speak powerfully through him in English. And Lord, I pray this in the name of Jesus, our King. Amen.
Thank you. This guy is a risky man. I mean, we just met through my dear friends back there, Paul and Colleen Gracie, and about a month and a half ago, and here we are today taking his pulpit. So thank you for your trust. Hallelujah! You see my shirt? It says hallelujah. Amen. Somebody asked me to tell you a little joke first. So you have to obey. There were two guys that were fighting over, is God black or is God white? And they were going to work, and they were fighting so hard that they got intense, and they got to work safely and sound, but when they went home, they picked up the same fight. No, God is black. No, God is white. And it really intensified, and they were now looking forward, and they hit this post. And they got killed, but because they were members of the Riverside Church in St. Charles, they made it to heaven. And there was Peter waiting at the gate. I said, "Hey, Peter, we want to know now, is God black or is God white?" I said, "Guys, don't keep fighting. You're going to be here for eternity. I'm going to call on God. You're going to find out what he is." And they kept fighting over this argument on this heavenly bench. And they hear these big steps, boom, boom. "Oh, you're going to see God is black." "No, he's white." And finally God was in and said, "No, buenos dias, amigos." So he's not black, he's not white, he's Cuban. I'm Cuban. Actually, I'm not really Cuban. I am a Christian that happens to be Cuban. In other words, I no longer let my culture dictate to my faith, but my faith in Christ dictates now to my culture and claims my very messy culture. Amen? Hallelujah! You say, well, what is this guy doing with this little shoe shine, you know, and this baseball thing? Well, I told you I'm from Cuba, right? So Cuba is the baseball capital of the world. Matter of fact, if you watch the World Series, it was a Cuban, Mr. Page, who saved the Dodgers from losing the World Series. Remember that catch in center field over the guy? That was a Cuban guy that catch. So we're going to do a little baseball this morning. But before that, we are talking about prayer. The most powerful, radical prayer ever written or ever prayed was with Jesus and by Jesus on the cross, wasn't it? And he spoke 7 powerful words. It was not long. It was not long, but in the midst of the agony, in the midst of the anguish, he was able to pray even for us, even for his enemies, because they don't know what they were doing. And he did that, of course, on the cross. In other words, for us to be able to be effective in what we pray, we need to love the cross. My friend John Piper says this, that this is not just an objective object where Christ died for us, but it's also a subjective object where we have to die to self. And when you become a believer in Jesus, you get an invitation from God the Father to die like his son Jesus, to die to self. Because if we think about it, we have this conflict between the flesh and the spirit. And the only way that we can resolve that is by dying to self daily. Amen? And then, of course, Jesus, this is for the young people, and then Jesus kept the 100. He kept the 100. In other words, he was all in. And when you are born from above, you have to be all in. That means you have to get to know the Father as his son does. So this morning, I have a special invitation for you guys. I want to invite you from the Father to enter into that inner glory of God the Father. In other words, to be able to enter into that intimacy that the Father and the Son enjoy together without interruption or distraction. That's called prayer. And if there's a time in history that we have to pray, it's today. It's today. Amen? I'm going to tell you who I represent. I represent about 100 million people. I do. Let me tell you, I represent about 100 million people who are impacted by the prison system, who are impacted by the justice system. Talking about people in jail, people in prison, people on parole, probation, house arrest, ankle monitor, out on bail, drugs, alcohol, people who are homeless. They've been in jail, believe me. But I also represent those that have no fathers. And the issue in America is the father have lost his way or his way. In other words, my mentor said to me, Manny Mel, keep your post and do your duty. Amen. That was Chuck Colson. And I'm here to tell you that we cannot really be a Christian. This is for you, Matt, as you just became an elder, without prayer. Because the moment that you declare war to the devil, prayer is for war. Prayer is for war. And we are in a war. We have too many casualties. Amen. So this morning, I'm going to show you what a radical prayer looks like. And I'm going to show you how to be able to keep what is important. As a way of my story, I was a bad boy. I came from Cuba as a refugee. My mom was a witch. She was a medium. All these demons went through her. Yeah, she was Catholic. She went to church twice a year. But she was a medium for all these demons I call witchcraft. And I came from Cuba via Spain, and I accomplished the American dream. I used to be good looking. Used to be. My wife tells me no more money. And I made it to the top. I used to have 4 brand new cars, 100 suits. I was a great dancer. I had hair. I was in good shape. Amen. And I thought that I was God. I thought that I was God. You see, our real problem is this, that we believe that we are God. And we compete for the worship that only belongs to God the Father. So I made it to the top. And when you don't have Jesus in you, you become God, so you make your own rules. So to make a long story short, I broke many laws, but I got caught on one of them, and I didn't want to go to prison, so I escaped. I went to Venezuela. I went to many countries before then, and I opened a Cuban restaurant, and I was doing well, but every time that I saw a white guy, I said, man, that must be an FBI agent, you know? And I was always living in fear. But my mother became a Christian. She began to pray for me. And the more that she prayed for me, the worse I got. But she kept persisting. We're going to see that this morning on the text. And she kept praying. And God, in his mercy, answered that prayer. I was redeemed. I was saved from the justifiable wrath of God. Then I had to face the music, and my mother asked me, Manolito, when are you going to come back to face the music of the FBI? I said, I don't want to come back to prison. I don't want to come back. But she gave me one verse, Hebrews 13:5. God has promised to be with you, never to leave you, never to forsake you. And that's the only verse in the Bible that has a fifth superlative. In other words, God will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And I took that verse to heart. I came back to America to face 55 years in prison. But God had mercy. You see, the gospel is about the cross, where God's justice and mercy, they kiss together. Amen? The gospel is a love affair. It's an invitation to enter into that love affair of the Son Christ and of the Father. So this morning, I want to play baseball with you. Is that okay? Now, I don't have a glove for everybody, but I need you to show me your glove. Come on, show me your glove. Because I'm going to throw you so many balls, I'm going to hit it, that you need to catch. Because, I mean, I'm going to invade you with baseball this morning. Amen? So, the first... Can you catch? Oh, man. Thank you. He's a good baseball player. Amen. So I'm going to hit to you guys 3 baseballs. With 3. Now, I have a bat today, so if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to get you. No. I want you to listen and to look at the screen right now and look at 3 truths. And I want you to repeat it with me as well. So the first one is this. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, big things happen. Let's say it together. Come on. When we pray, hallowed be thy name, big things happen. Not for yourself, but for the glory of God. Are you ready? Please show me your glove. Come on. Come on. Here we go. Bang. Did you catch it? Put it in your heart. What happens if the baseball hits the glove and it falls on the ground? What happens? The guy is safe. And the devil is saved way too many times in America because we are not holding to the truth of the Word of God. Are we not believing it? We are not convicted. We are not awakened by it, right? Baseball number 2. Pray radically to what? To love radically. Let's say it together. Pray radically. In other words, I cannot say to you that I love you unless I am committed to pray for you. In other words, to love is to pray, and to pray is to love. Are you ready? Please show me your glove. Come on. Come on. I'm coming. Bang! You got it? Put it on your heart so you will not go anywhere. Hold it tight. Amen? Third truth. This is a very important one. And I heard one of the elders say this here this morning. God our Father is a good, good Father, but He's not a paramedic. In other words, many of us, if we're honest with each other, and I believe that we have to repent this morning from that, we only pray when we are in need of a prayer. In other words, we throw a 911 call expecting that God will catch it. But really, we don't have intimacy with Him. We just want help. And when you want help, anybody will help you. That's why so many people are in prison, because they want help and they go to the devil or their father, and the devil will always open that door and he will exchange it for their souls. So can we put that back, please? Thank you, Pastor Paul. Could we say that together, please? God our Father is a good, good Father. He's not a paramedic. You need to believe that. And I'm going to tell you three stories about that. Are you ready? Come on, show me your glove. Come on now. This is a good one now. This is the last one now. You, hold your glove. Show me your glove. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh. Show me your feet. That's it. That's it. That guy will catch you with the feet. That guy will catch you with the feet. God bless you, my brother. I want to give you a hug, okay, when I'm done here today. Thank you for being such a humor, joyful guy. Amen. All right. Come on. Are you ready? Come on. Show me your glove. Came right here. Hey. You're looking at me now. Come on now. Come on. Don't be looking over there. Look at me. Come on now. Ready? Bam. You know, it was a grand boy. You missed it. Come on now. Amen. Amen. Now, let me show you the next slide, because this morning I want to keep it real. You see, I used to be a hypocrite. You know anybody like that? You know anybody that is two faces, that they tell you one thing but they don't do it? You see, this gospel has to be lived out, right, Pastor Phil? My dear friend, Pastor Phil, is here with us this morning from Pacific Garden Mission. What an honor to have you here with your beautiful wife, Pastor Phil, one of my wonderful friends. Many guys go to his mission who have been in prison, right? And we've been there many, many times as well. So that car was the only car that somebody had just donated to us. And my wife crashed it. That means I had no car. We had no car. She's inside that car. And I was eating at a restaurant in Wheaton, where I always go, it's called Eclectic. And I got a phone call from the police, because my wife gave the police my number on the restaurant. And the owner said, Manny, come. I said, what? The police is on the phone. I said, I don't want to talk to the police. No police. Right, Ronnie Brooks, no police. I said, no, you have to come. So I came, and it was a female officer, and I picked up the phone, and she said, is your name Manny Mel? I said, yes, it is. She said, well, now, hear me out. Your wife was involved in a car crash. I didn't say accident. You see, for you and I to believe in a radical prayer, you have to believe in a sovereign God. That He's in control of everything. And there's a purpose for everything. If you are a real child of God, everything that happens to you has to go first through the filter of God. to get to you, and it's to test you. So you can have a testimony. Hello? Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Dakota, all the way from Peoria. Amen. So I ran there. I was 87 pounds more than I am now. I ran there with my friend Bill, come to me in the car, but everything was closed down. I ran there. I don't know. Now I run or I walk 10 miles a day. Amen. I want to be like you, Pastor, someday. Amen. So I got there, and the chief of police was there. The chief of the fire department was there. And I wanted to be a savior. I wanted to get in there and save my wife. But the chief said to me, no, money, you cannot go anywhere. We have this under control. I said, but chief, my wife is in there. He says, money is nothing that you can do. Now, you don't tell that to a Cuban. What do you mean, nothing that I can do? He said, but Manny, I know that you're a pastor. You can do one thing. You can pray. The moment that he said you can pray is like a knife went through my heart. And it just went through. Because I was about to treat my father as a paramedic. In other words, I was busy doing nothing. Many people are busy, a lot of activity, but really doing nothing because it doesn't count. In other words, I was not being the mantle that I had to be for my wife as the husband. You see, I was too busy speaking. I was too busy doing, but I was not really praying. I was not really in there. I was not into the inner glory, partaking from the grace of God. I was not there with the Father, with the Son, and the Spirit. So, of course, we went to the hospital. Lost 3 fingers. If you see my wife's hand, have no fingers on impact. They came out. The ring, you know, from our wedding was found on the pavement. All crushed. But she didn't get killed. Amen. For my sake. To teach me a big lesson. So we went to the hospital. She got surgery. Then I go to this conference in Minneapolis every year for about a couple thousand pastors. And I was not going to go because now I want to be a good husband. I mean, now I want to be good. Now I want to be there for more. Now, after the situation. So my wife sensed that. She said, no, you're going. You are going to go to this conference. So she registered me. I went to the conference. And the conference happens to be on prayer. For pastors. Ooh. And I got there. Great teaching. Every pastor that spoke was remarkable. Was exciting. And we were there for 3 days. We had from noontime to 5 o'clock break. We were having a great time. For 3 days we talked about prayer. But we never prayed. Do you hear me? In other words, 80% of the pastors in America, God bless them all, don't have a radical, intimate prayer life with the Father. In other words, we do not cultivate the most incredible blessing that we have as a pastor or as a Christian. We don't cultivate that intimacy with the Father, and we treat God like a paramedic. I was talking to your pastor, and I sense that he's a man of prayer. And I sense that he wants for you guys to become a house of prayer. Because Jesus said, not me, not him, Jesus said in Mark 11, 17, he says, my house shall be a house of prayer for the nations. But you have made it into a house of thieves. In other words, we have become a thief of his glory because we are competing for that glory and we don't pray. And then we also forgotten one nation. It's called the nation of the prisons. That's a nation. I mean, that's a culture. So then I was so struck by what I experienced in this conference that I came home distraught, convicted. So I said to my wife, I said, Barbara, I have to get away. So I talked to one of our board members that had a beautiful cabin in Wisconsin. I said, hey, Kathy, could you talk to your husband and could you see if you can get me into the cabin for 3 days? Oh, man, I'll work it out for you. So I went to this cabin. I went to this cabin by myself, no computer, no cell phone, and I really wanted to hear from God, the Father. I really wanted to repent. I really wanted to begin again. Because you see, I want to give you some hope now. You see the idea? Hope. Helping others pursue eternity. Helping our people everywhere. And if you look closely, what do you see there? Names of what? Of prisons. There's freedom in prisons. Go with me and find out. But Jesus said, I am in prison and you never came to see me. I mean, that's an indictment. Because, I mean, he's in there, but we don't go and see him. Because for some reason we are fearful. We think that we didn't do anything wrong, really. But in fact, we have. So I went into this cabin and the first hour that I was there, I opened my Bible, I went on the floor, I began to cry out to God, and he showed me a text. He showed me the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, towards the end of the chapter, and he said, read it. I read it, and it's where Moses got fired. Moses got fired. Moses, the most important, best known character in the Old Testament got fired. The man that knew God intimately, the man that saw the burning bush, the man that freed the people out of Egypt, the man that had intimacy with God, he got fired. You know why he got fired? Because he failed to hallow the name of the Father. Beloved, nobody is indispensable except one person. His name is Jesus. And then I heard this question. Now, I am not a charismatic. I am a biblicist. In other words, I'm a biblicist. I preach what the Word says. And he asked me a question. Holy Spirit asked me, Manny Mel, give me one reason why I should not fire you. I said, whoa. I didn't have an attorney. I didn't have Paul Gracie to come and help me out with my defense. He couldn't. Nobody could. So I cry out even more. I said, please don't do it. God the Father did not give Moses. Oh, man. Is that Moses there? I'm so sorry. Did I speak too loud or something? I'm so sorry. Man, I guess that God might be speaking to us or something. I don't know. So God fired Moses because he didn't hallow his name. Because he became God. Remember why was that? Because he struck the rock twice. Remember that? He thinking that God said, okay, those knuckleheads want water. That's fine. I'm going to give them the water my way. You speak to the rock. Speak to the rock. He got angry. Bang. Bang. Right? And God came through because he promised that he was going to give him the water. But not that way. Said, Moses, you're done. You're fired. I said, man, if God fired Moses, how about me? I'm all the way down there. But he had mercy on me. He gave me a do-over. But he gave me three conditions. Said, Manny Mill, you don't do it again. Number two, lose the weight. Walk with me. Write the book. And talk about prayer everywhere you go. And leave it out. Leave it out. You see, radical prayer is not just one thing we do. It's what we do. It's who we are. We are people of prayer. We cannot do anything without prayer. Christ did not do anything without talking to his Father first. Nothing that he did was without prayer. And not to pray for the impossible is to offend God. So it was in that cabin that he then took me to Luke 11, 1 through 13. And I went to school. I was the first ex-convict ever to attend Wheaton College through my friend Chuck Colson. Got my BA degree, got my master's degree. I became a pastor. I studied God's word. I have great mentors in my life, great teachers in my life. But he taught me this text in a unique way. So now I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to give it to you in how he taught it to me. It's in my book also that we wrote. I want to teach you here the five questions. Number one, why do we pray? Number two, who do we pray to? Number three, what do we pray? What is the fuel for the engine of prayer? What fuel do you put in there to pray? And then when do we pray? And how do we pray? Are you ready? Let's sit up. Let's put our seat belts on, okay? I'm going to go fast, but I'm going to be doing it in a nice way, I think. Let's go to verse 1. This is Jesus speaking. This is a Trinitarian passage, by the way. We have to believe in the Trinity. Amen? Now it came to pass that as he, who is he? Jesus was praying. So the Holy Spirit said to me, hey, wait, Manimel. If Jesus is praying, how about you? If Jesus, who is very God, who became very man, who is perfect, who is creator, if he prays, how about you, Manimel? That was a convicting question, wasn't it? He was praying in a certain place when he stopped, when he sees that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, Jesus, teach us to pray. Teach us to pray. And I believe that we need a lot of help in the church today about prayer. The issue is not Trump or Biden or the White House or the Republicans. No. The issue is the church. We set the pace. We are the people of redemption. We are the people of hope. We set culture. We are the principal vehicle through which every blessing comes through. But we have transferred that to somebody else. No, that's our responsibility. That's our job. Says, Lord, I teach you to pray as John also told his disciples. So now he's about to teach you. So I want you to listen, not to me. I want you to listen to the word of God. I'm going to give you a very provocative message now, which I'm praying that you will catch it. Please show me your glove again. Exactly. I want you to catch it. If you catch this teaching today, you will never be the same. You will never be the same. It's nothing that God the Father cannot do. Now, we cannot twist his arm. We cannot make him do it either. But we're going to find out how we're going to do this. Amen? So let's go to verse 2. Thank you, Pastor Paul. So he said to them, now who is them?
The disciple.
Us. Now who is the disciple? A follower of Christ. You follow him everywhere he goes. You listen to him. You obey him, right? We have to learn to, for you young people, we have to obey without delay. Say with me, obey without delay. You too. Yes, sir. But you will like that. You know, they will like that, right? Right? It says, when you pray, say, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. That's a prayer. When I went to Wheaton, I never learned that. I thought that that was just an exhortation or an adoration or a worship. No. That is the prayer. Matter of fact, you have on your bulletin little scheme that I gave you. We're going to deal with that. So just take it out now. Take it out now and keep it. And keep this. Make copies. Put it on your mirrors in your bathroom when you shave, when you do your makeup. You know what I'm saying? Put it in your car. Put it everywhere. This is the motto of prayer. Right here. All right? So he says, let your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. If you see this Lord's Prayer, right, as it is, right, you know, commonly known, it's different ending from Matthew 6. Different ending. Because you see, this is not for us to repeat like a parakeet. This is a model for us to follow in how we're going to pray. So who do we pray to? To God the Father. Why? So we can hallow his name. What do we pray? His very word. When do we pray? On your sleep. Without ceasing. And then we're going to see in the parable in a few minutes here how we're going to pray. In other words, hallowed be thy name is the prayer. Everything that we pray is to make sure that the name of the Father is hallowed. It's all about the Father. Jesus came to make sure that the name of his Father was not messed up anymore. He came so we know that his Father is holy. He came so we know the truth about his Father. He came as the way to the Father. He came to give us life, his life, right? L-I-F-E, so we can live in freedom every day. He came so we will know that he's going to defend his Father's reputation. So if you are a disciple of Christ, that is your ministry as well. Everything that Jesus did, we have to do. Even wash some feet as well. Hallelujah. We have to become humble. Humility is to a Christian like garlic is to Cuban black beans is the main ingredient. Humility is humane. You cannot pray if you're proud, if you're arrogant. You cannot pray like that. So, here it is. Everything that you pray, let your kingdom come. Let your will be done. Give me my daily bread. Forgive our sins. I'm going to forgive others too. So, the Lord's Prayer structure is 1+5. You see that? In other words, anything and everything that you pray for your co-workers, for your fellow students, for this country, for the government, for your spouse, for somebody that is sick, whatever it is, make sure that whatever you pray, you put in there the word of God and that you purpose, that you are motivated to make sure that the name of the Father is hallowed. Is that clear? Now, let me give you 3 little points here. God the Father cares for your health. He wants you to eat, to have medical care, to have a house to live in, to have clothing. You know why? Because his name is at stake. It's a stake. A good father wants to provide for his children. He wants to protect his children. That's his job. How about God the Father? Even more. Right? So he wants you to know that he cares for your health. Number two, he also cares for your hope. For your hope. And he cares for your holiness. If you read 1 Peter 1:15, says that we are required by Scripture to be holy in all of our conduct. Even when you pray, because we come in before a holy God, right? We come in with reverence. I mean, he's not your buddy. He's your father. Do you want them to call you by your first name? No. Who is he again? A dad. Right. You are their only dad. He's our only father. So let me give you a little thing here that I'd like you to begin to think about. When you pray to the Father. You just don't say God or Lord. No. Call him by his name. Isn't that what Christ did? Our Father. And you see, he's so good that Jesus is inclusive. Even before you become a Christian, he said, come on, I want you to come in with me. He's our Father. Not mine. No. He's our Father. He's our other brother. You know, Hebrews 2, he wants to include you in the benefits. He wants to include you in the blessings. But you have to follow his model of praying. Now, your model, don't pray mechanical prayers. Don't pray, you know, secular prayers. Pray biblical prayers. Amen. Now, let's go to verses 5 through 8. It is a parable. Anybody here knows what a parable is? What's a parable? Huh? It's a story about what? About what? It's okay. That's okay. It's a story about things that you and I can relate to. About the earth. Things that we deal with, right? Mundane stuff that we deal with, right? But what with heavenly meaning? You see, we have to be pointing always to heaven. Always to the glory of God, right? Because you see, when you become a Christian, you are filled with the glory of God. And if you're filled with his glory, you don't need nothing else, do you? Because you have in yourself the Holy Spirit. You see, the moment that you become a Christian and you confess your sin and you were saved from the justifiable wrath of God and from the guilt of sin and the slavery of sin and an eternal hell and self and the world, you become a new creation. And you are given the Holy Spirit because Christ on the cross, he hung in there so we don't have to hang in there no more, you see. He came to shed his blood that we didn't have because it's tainted by what? By sin that we what? Inherit when we were conceived in our mother's womb. I'm giving you the gospel, by the way. And then what happened? He died and that blood was efficacious, was effective, was enough to make payment for all of our sins. That's why I go in jails. To give them this man hope. I don't care what you've done. It is paid. It is paid in full. Amen. So let's go to the parable. So this parable only appears here. It's very peculiar. No place else. It's about a guy that is home and his friend comes at midnight and he knocks on the door and says, hey, Jose, I've been traveling all night. All night I've been on the road and I'm tired and I want to stay with you. No place to stay because you see, in those days, there were no hotels. So people's home was that hotel. Right? So he got to his friend's house and okay, come in. So he goes to his room and he's all ready to go. Nice pillowcase, the sheet, everything, the blanket, everything. But the guy's hungry. So he goes to the fridge, to the pantry, and it's nothing to eat. In other words, he's broke. The first concept that we have to understand is this. For a radical prayer to be a radical prayer, you have to believe that you are bankrupt. You and I have nothing to offer. I mean, nada. I mean, zero. 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 Amen? So he said, hey, I'll be right back. Because I cannot let you go to sleep like that with the stomach sounding like that, you know what I'm saying? And, you know. So he goes to see his friend. And he knocks on his friend's door. Now, in a parable of any kind, you must ask two questions. Number one, who is God and who is me? Now, in this parable, it's easy to find out who is me. But it's very difficult to find out who is God, because you see, our culture says McDonald's, fast, computer. I want everything right now. I want everything rapido, fast. You know what I'm saying? So he goes to see his friend, and his friend says to him from inside the door, he's knocking on his door, and he says, go away. I'm already sleeping with my children inside the bed. Now, he didn't say that he didn't have it. Of course, because you see, he's been there before. But this time, Jesus is teaching about prayer. And he wants to make a point to see how serious you are about prayer. You see how serious you really want him. So he knocks on the door. He hears those words. He says, I cannot go back home. Because you see, if I go back home, I'm going to bring shame to my friend and to my father. So you see, the opposite of hollow is shame. But Christ, hallelujah, Christ took our shame so we will not be ashamed. Hallelujah. And he said, I cannot go anywhere. I'm going to stay right here. I just cannot go back. There are some times that you don't take no for an answer, because it's too urgent. Beloved, we are living in urgent times. Do you see it? We are being entertained. No. We have to be serious about prayer, about getting to know our Father. He wants to provide you everything that you need so you can bring him more glory. Is that clear? Look at verse 8. Verse 8 is the pivotal verse here. Look at verse 8. I said to you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his what? Because of his own shame, audacity in the Greek, to be more exact. He will rise and give him as many. Not just three. No. What do you want? I own the superstore. I am the superstore. You come in without money and you shop and you don't pay because I made all the payments. I want you to have what you need. I'm not talking about here the prosperity gospel. I'm not. I'm talking about what you need, because you see, you want to have a testimony fresh every single day. In other words, Father, I know that you're in there. I'm not going to go anywhere, because you see, if I go home without the bread, I'm going to bring you shame. I need to hallow your name, because I am motivated to make sure that your name is hallow. I cannot go back with my hands empty, Father. I'm not going to go anywhere until you open the door and you give it to me. Is that how you pray? Sometimes we are too shallow and we are too short. I don't want to offend you now, but we are too pathetic when we pray. And because we only call when we need him, and because we don't have intimacy with him, of course, you don't know how to pray. Now look at verses 9 and 10, because he's not going to leave you hanging. He's going to show you right now what he means by you praying with persistency. Here it is. Now, here are three verbs. And in the Greek, they have no ending. No ending, right? In other words, it might take you 10 years. Take you 15 years. It might be today. We don't know. But we're going to pray and let God give the answer. And come through for his glory, because we want his name to be hallowed. Here it is. So I said to you, ask. In other words, keep asking. Keep asking. Keep asking. You get the point? Keep asking. And it will be given to you. Seek. Keep seeking. Keep seeking. Is your son in the gang, or is your daughter doing drugs? Or what's the issue? He can solve anything. He can intrude in everybody's life. He can make it happen. People don't come on their own. People come because they are drawn to Christ. Prayers, right? Now, we don't force God, but we come in there, and he's a good father, so he wants to give it to you. And you will find. Knock. Keep knocking, and it will be open to you for everyone. Now, who is everyone? I have to be very careful with that. We have to qualify that. Everyone who is a child of God. Everyone who has been washed by Christ's blood. Anyone who knows Christ as his Lord and Savior. Anyone who has asked God to forgive him. That is everyone. For everyone who asks, receives, and who seeks, finds, and who thinks and acts will be open. If you notice there, verse 10 is in the future. And God cares for your future. But verse 10 is more about the present. You see there? Because he cares also for your present need as well. Now let's go back. Let's go on verses 11 and 12. You see, now he's going to make a transfer from this Heavenly Father, who is our loving Heavenly Father, down to earth, to us as fathers. Are you a father? You are a father. Good. Now, look at the question that he's going to ask you right now. If a son is here, your son right there?
Yes.
Good. Be nice to him, okay? If your son asks you for some Cuban bread, toasted with jelly and with butter, all right, will you give him a stone? You see how quickly he answered that question? He didn't even have to pray about it. He didn't have to pray about it. He knows that he cannot do that. Are you a father, sir? Good. Is he your daughter?
Yes.
Are you okay? I'm not going to push you on this part. Just him. Let me ask you this question. Or if he or she, ask for a fish. Hey, daddy, I'm hungry. Go to Lake Michigan. Catch me a nice fish. Put it in the oven with butter and lemon and, grill it and give it to me with some Cuban rice and black beans. I'm saying amen, amen. Will you give her a serpent instead of a fish? He's an elder. He better say no. Are you a father?
Yeah.
You are. Okay, good. Now look at the next question. If he asks you, your son or your daughter, ask you for some huevos rancheros with chorizo and with mushroom and Swiss cheese or whatever, onions or whatever, will you give him or her a scorpion? You see how Jesus likes to teach us today? He wants to provoke you. He wants to provoke your intellect. How can you be asking me that question? I'm a good person. I'm good to my kids. I provide for them. I pay for their schooling. I pray for their clothing. I have them health insurance in my health plan. They have a car that I gave them, I'm a good provider, right? So we think that we're good, right? We're not good. We're not good. We're not good. You know why we're not good? Because we don't pray. You know why we're not good? Because we treat God like a paramedic. You know we're not good? Because we are too happy with ourselves. And self is your worst enemy. Come down from that cloud right now. And humble yourself. And say, Father, I am bankrupt. Apart from Christ, I have nothing to offer. I don't know what to do about these kids. I have no way to know how to be a father. It's a difficult job. In school, they are going to school and they teach all this junk in school. Or, you know, all this stuff that we're facing today. Right? Now let's go to the last verse. This verse was my conviction right here. It put me on my place. It really got to me. It changed my entire perspective in who my father is. And it changed about, do I really believe it? Do I really believe this? Am I convicted? And now you're going to be introduced to the third person of the Trinity here. I told you I'm not a charismatic. I'm a biblicist. But we have to pray in the Spirit. I'm not talking about tongues here. Although I can talk to you in Spanish. But I'm talking about speaking the language of God. Peter says, speak my oracles. Speak my word. Put it in your heart. Fuel the engine of prayer with my word. Look at verse 13. God the Father wants you today, and this is my prayer for each of you, for this church, and I'm so thankful for your pastor. He's a humble man. I don't know him very well, but we're getting to know each other here now. And we're becoming friends, which I love your pastor and his wife, of course, Deborah. He wants this church to flourish. Not for himself, but for the glory of God. He wants for this whole area to be saturated with Christ. He wants for you to become evangelists and to bring your friends to listen to the good teaching that this man does every Sunday in and out. We are required to love our neighbor. Remember, to love is to pray and to pray is to love. Right? Here it is. If you then, now he's talking to us now, fathers, talking to us now, I'm not saying don't be offended by me, be offended by the word of God, but that's a good offense. If you then, being what? Well, do you know what 1 John 3:8 says? Jesus came to defeat all the works of who? Of the devil. In other words, Christ took the D away. Evil, right? He reversed it. L-I-V-E. He came that you may live. That I may live. I'm almost done. I'm looking at the clock. I don't want to get fired. If you then being evil know how to give good gift to your children. I mean, they told me quickly that they're not going to give them the scorpion or the stone or the serpent. They told me quickly. I didn't talk to them before. No, I put them on the spot. How much more? Woo! I want you guys to experience the how much more. And how much is the how much more of God? You tell me. Come on. Anybody, tell me. How much is the how much more of God? Tell me, how much is that? Oh, thank you. Endless, right? Because at stake is his glory. At stake is that he wants us to make sure that we don't mess his name up again. I did that for too many years, right, Dakota? We cannot bring God the Father any more shame. You don't want for your child to bring shame to your last name. Do you? Do you know what a parent goes through? And I deal with them every day when his son goes to prison. And anybody can make it to prison. Now you're from Chicago. From St. Charles too. From anywhere. Joe Cousin went to prison. Governor Blagojevich went to prison. Governor Ryan went to prison. Nixon was supposed to be in prison. Anybody can make it to prison. And guess what? You don't have to be in prison to be in prison. And the only way out is through prayer. Do you hear that? How much more will your Heavenly Father, who is love, will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now watch me. Ask him. A-S-K, right? Ask, seek, and knock. Ask who? The Father. The Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father to us. He was with Jesus on the cross. He was with Jesus in Gethsemane. He was with Jesus in the garden. He wants to be with you. He wants to be your paracletos. He wants to be your counselor. He wants to help you out. Amen? So I have one question for you before I ask him to come forward and to sing. And then I'm going to come back for the benediction. And I'm not asking you to come forward. I'm not going to do that today. Maybe next time I will. But I want you to reflect on this question. Is God the Father your real father? Or is he your paramedic? Is God the Father your real father? Or is he your paramedic? Let me pray. So Father, thank you so much for giving us the privilege of opening your word today. And I pray to you now, Holy Spirit, that you will bring the conviction that we need to be awakened, to be able to treat you like a father, that we will make a commitment today, our Father, to hallow your name in everything that we pray and say. And I pray, Father God, that today we will repent and make a commitment to you, our Father God, to becoming people of prayer, that we will be committed, Father God, to cultivate the same prayer life that Jesus and you, Father, enjoy together without interruption or distraction. I pray in Jesus' name. And God's people say, amen.